Good morning, church. It's a dreary and drab day out there, but inside it feels like the sun is shining because there's a spotlight right there. Mon and I were just talking about that. When we stand up here, it's like, oh, so very bright. But it is warm in here. It's comfortable in here. It's lovely in here because it's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has called us to be the church, not just here on Sunday morning, but when we leave this place, God calls us to be his church, Christ's body in the world, actively at work, finding those needs, those areas of concern, and then doing something about it. We're not called to just say, oh, well, I'll think good thoughts about you. You're in my thoughts and prayers. That's one thing, but it's another to say, let's go to prayer together. Because there's nowhere else that we can go but to cling to the Father and to pray where the Holy Spirit comes and uses this situation, whatever it is, to turn it into something good. God can turn a day like this, it's dreary and drab outside, into something really good. As this will water the plants, it'll provide nourishment for the animals, and it'll just do wonderful things in the environment that we're surrounded by. It looks drab and dreary, but it's all part of God's plan. Who knows what those drab and dreary moments in our lives, that God may be using those to fertilize, to water, and to nurture our faith. We've been studying Genesis. I love the picture. Every time I come, I don't know what the pictures will be. You think I picked those out. Wayne and Keith picked those out for me. I love that one. Go back to there. Look at that. Fish and birds. That's perfect. But we are in this series on Genesis chapter 1 called In the Beginning, and God's gracious provision for God's people, for God's creation. God's not just concerned from afar. As we'll find out today, God is intimately and personally involved with the small details of our lives. Let's go to Genesis. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear." It was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters, and he called them seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants with trees, and on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems, and that moves about in it. according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful, and increase in number, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And it was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Jesus is the living word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. God, we offer to you this time so that you may teach us from your word. We pray that our words, our actions, our thoughts would all be centered on you. May I decrease so that you may increase in what is said in this time, for it is yours to use as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we had the vastness of God, how huge God is. These humongous bodies that we see in the heavens, the sun and the moon and the stars, are all more vast than we can possibly imagine. It would take millions and millions of Earths to equal the size of the sun. If we were to take Earth and drop it onto the sun, we would just go boop. We're so tiny and small in comparison to these great big things that God has created. But when we expand that and we look at the solar system, great planets like Jupiter and Saturn, beautiful. Why are they so beautiful? We look up in our little telescopes and we see, oh my goodness, what a beautiful creation that God has made. The planets display the glory of our God. And it takes us thousands of years to realize that if we get lenses and put them together just right, we can see just how truly beautiful this great creation of God's truly is. And as we humans have developed bigger and better telescopes, we've come to realize something, that we're really small. We're very small. We're in a tiny little speck in our solar system, but we're in a tiny little speck, that whole solar system, in comparison to our galaxy. We are just a little blip on the outskirts of nowhere. Have you ever seen a picture of a galaxy, a spiral galaxy? We are not in the thick of things. In the middle, where all of the stars are and that big action takes place, we are way out in one of those little bands that goes around the solar system. We're way out there, tiny, in the middle of nowhere. That's where God has placed us. And if we look at that galaxy, we realize that that galaxy is just one of billions and billions of galaxies. And who knows if there are even more universes that God has created. There's no way of knowing just how creative and expansive our God is, that this may not even be it. Who knows what other realities God has created? Who knows? The vastness of our God makes it so difficult for us sometimes to understand that this vast God, this huge God who is over all of the earth, all of the solar system, all of the universe, cares about us. When we think of infinity, we think of amazing, uncountable. And yet, infinity goes the other way. From infinitely huge to infinitely tiny, infinitely small. Think about that. God proclaims in his word, "I know the number of hairs on your head." For some of you, that's easier than others. That was an easy one. Sorry about that. Sometimes they're right over the plate, like on a tee. If God knows the number of hairs on your head, how much does that mean that God cares for you? Do you know the number of hairs on your head? Some of you don't answer that, because you. But yeah, that's how intimately and personally God knows you. Now, here's the thing. I take it even smaller than that. Because your hair is made up of molecules, and those molecules are made up of cells. Now, would you believe that God knows the number of little cells that make up who you are? That God knows the number of atoms that make up this thing called you? I even go bigger than that. I think that God knows the exact number of atoms that make up the whole earth. I think God knows the exact number of molecules and atoms that make up that huge thing called the sun. I think God knows the exact number of atoms that he has given for his entire creation. I think he's got it all numbered. I think he's got it all figured out. That's the kind of care, that's the kind of compassion, the kind of love, the kind of nurturing that our creative God is. That there's nothing outside of his knowledge. Even the number of an infinitely vast number of atoms, God knows exactly how many there are. Now, what does that say about us? That God is a good counter? That God is interested in knowing the numbers of things? Read the book of Numbers. You'll find sometimes that is the case. But I think it's more important than that. I think that if God knows the exact number of atoms that make up the being of who we are, how much more do you think God cares about the situations that take place in your life? How much more do you think God cares when you're sick? How much more does God care when tears form in your eyes? If God knows the number of hairs on our heads, do you think God is concerned when we're in the hospital? You think God is concerned when we're sick and we don't know what it is that's causing us to be sick? I think that's the kind of God that we are dealing with when we read Genesis chapter 1. Not only a vast God who rules the heavens and the earth, but one who is so intimately involved with us that there's no place that he'd rather be than with us. And if there's no place he'd rather be than with us, that means in the good times and the bad. That means that when we celebrate the great things that God is doing, we also realize that when things aren't going so well, when it seems like all hope is lost, when the doctors can't tell you yes or no, that's when you can cling to God even more personally and deeply than you ever have before. Because God is with you through all of those circumstances. There's nothing in this life that can be thrown at you that your God is too small to handle. There's nothing that can happen to you that's so insignificant that God would pay you no mind. He's not too big so that your concerns mean nothing to him. The God who we encounter in Genesis chapter 1 is not the kind of God who winds the watch or winds the clock and then says, "Have at it. Go and do these great things. And I'll be watching you from far away." It's the kind of God who in Genesis chapter 2 plays in the mud. This is a creator who just loves to create. Loves to create good things. Notice as we read each day, God says, "This is good." And at the end of creation, God will say, "This is very good." What a glorious thing that is. Go and multiply and fill this earth with all sorts of good things. And God takes delight. God takes delight in that. To watch us grow. I'm amazed at the care that God has taken in putting together this thing called life. That's a perfect picture, because we're in a system of nature where everything has a purpose. Everything has its place. The seas are filled with life, and there's these little tiny microbes called plankton. And the fish eat the plankton, and the birds eat the fish, and someone will eat the bird, and someone will eat that thing. Everything's here for a reason. Everything's here for a purpose. That's good news. Because guess what that means? That means you're here for a purpose too. It means God has plans for you. If God has taken the time to give a flower such beauty that it would compare to the riches of Solomon, how much more do you think that God cares? Well, you'll pick it, it'll wilt away, and you'll throw it away. Jesus says, think how much more I care for you. Think how much more loving I am for you. Jesus said, look at the ravens. Look at the birds. They don't care about how they'll be taken care of. They trust in God. And Jesus is saying in that, why don't you? Because think how much more God loves you, that God would send Jesus to die for you. We worry, though, don't we? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to make it to work? How's my family going to get through? We worry and worry, and God has us. I am a type 1 diabetic. You know what that means? That means I need insulin every day. And at the beginning of the year, my insurance resets. Does anybody else have that problem so that you pay more at the beginning of the year? Oh, yes. Kristen and I, when we were serving at Eldersville United Methodist Church on the other side of the conference over by the West Virginia Panhandle, that was a part-time appointment. I was working as a pastor, but I was also serving as a student. And so they don't pay you a lot there. And we wondered, we were dinks, double income, no kids, when God called me into ministry. We went from double income, no kids, to one income and a kid, and a quarter of the pay, basically, that we had, because she no longer was working, and I was making half of what I did before. How are we going to get through this? How is God going to provide for us? Did we ever go hungry? Never. We always had a vehicle. Always made it to where we needed to go. That's right. I don't use that as an example of, oh, look at us. I use it as an example as if God could take care of a couple of crazy people like us. Just think what God will do for you. Amazing. I was given a raise. It was a small raise. It was so small I didn't realize that they'd forgotten to pay me the raise when the beginning of the year started. And when the treasurers at the end of the year discovered that, they were quite upset. Now, in the meantime, Kristen and I, you remember type 1 diabetic? Well, that first bill for insulin came due, about $500. Where are we going to find $500? We barely have enough to get through from day to day. Now we have this great big bill of $500. I need to have that. I can't go without it. What are we going to do? Need $500. April Kimball comes to me, my dear PPR chair over at Eldersville. God bless that woman. She put up with me for 4 years. She comes to me almost in tears. Pastor Jim, you're not going to believe what happened. We are so sorry. What happened? Did you vote me out? She said, we gave you that raise at the beginning of the year, but we didn't calculate it right. And all year long, we have been withholding money from you that was due to you. Well, how much is it, April? She said, we owe you $500. I said, thanks be to God. And was rejoicing that God knew what we'd have done with that $500. Books. We would have spent that money. It would have all been gone. But God knew before we even asked what our concern was. And when I needed that money, God had already worked it all out. What were we worried about? What were we worried about? It's the same for you. What are you worried about? When those concerns are in your hearts and your minds that you're worrying, what am I going to do next? Trust Jesus. Trust him. And allow God to work in your life so that those stories become things that build your faith. One more. You know the concern that we've had for my mom, and she passed away. The day that we knew she would not make it to see tomorrow, I had to go and be up there with her. That was no doubt in my mind. It was just a matter of getting things in order here at the church before we made that trip. And her sisters had come to see her that afternoon. And my sister Jody had come to see her that afternoon. And when I got there, there was my sister Charlene, who is very much like me in our attitude. We like to talk. And she brought with her my niece, her daughter, Sarah. And here's Mom sitting in the middle, Charlene on this side, me on this side, and Sarah over here. Now, when the two of us get together and there's someone to tell our stories to, guess what we do? We spend our time telling stories of our childhood. And so they say one of the last things to go as someone is passing away is their hearing. And I can't help but think that God cared enough for Mom that God put two blabber mouths on either side of her and someone to hear the stories. So that there was this conversation of these good times taking place as Mom was losing the abilities to hear or to think anymore, that maybe the last moments that she spent with any kind of consciousness was spent hearing the kind of stories that would bring joy to her heart. It's easy for me to say, oh, it's all coincidence. And that's what we so often do. But do you believe the God who made the heaven and earth work so perfectly does coincidences? I don't think so. I think God knows exactly what God is doing. All God is asking is trust. Trust Him. Put your faith in Him. And don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, because it's in God's hands. And there's no better place to be than in the creative and loving hands of our giving and gracious God, who can take any situation and turn it into something good. God loves you. And so do I. Amen.